Good morning, and it's great to be here. When you opened up your bulletin this morning, you will have seen a piece of paper in it, and I know some of you have been dying to know what it's for, because I was bamboozled by one or two people saying, what is this all about? Can you just grab it now, please, for me? And if I can ask you to hold it with the dot to the left and the cross to the right. So when you hold it, it should look like that. I'm not very good with lefts and rights, okay? So if you hold it with the cross to that side and the dot to that. So hold it in your right hand. Might be difficult if you're left-handed. Now what I'd like you to do is to cover your left eye properly with your left hand. Hold the paper up in front of you and focus your right eye on that dot and move the paper slowly towards you, and you should find at some point, that's it, the cross disappears. Yeah? Yeah? Spooky. You have just discovered you've got a blind spot. And if you did it the other side, then you discover that you've got one in your other eye as well. And blind spots come about because there aren't any photoreceptors where the optic nerve hits the retina. Our brain compensates for blind spots, so we're not usually very aware of the fact that we've got a blind spot. But not being aware of a blind spot doesn't mean that it's not there, as we, or most of us, have just discovered. If you didn't manage to get it work, take it home and keep playing with it. I promise you, you will discover you have a blind spot in your eyes. And just as we've got a physical blind spot, we also have emotional blind spots, we have spiritual blind spots, we have behavior blind spots, and we have, if you like, psychological blind spots as well. Even if we're not aware of them there, it doesn't mean to say we haven't got them, just as we've discovered with our eyes. And the trouble with these kinds of emotional and spiritual and behavioral and psychological blind spots is that they impact how we interpret reality. And so they limit our personal growth. They can cause us to sin. They can dull our ability to see all that God has for us and all that he's capable of in the world around us. And as Gareth has already said, this morning we're going to look at a story in John 9, and it's all about blind spots. It's about blind spots that religious leaders and other people had. And it's a story about how Jesus kind of exposed these blind spots and how different people responded to Jesus showing them where they were. But it's quite a long reading. It's 41 verses. And I thought, rather than us read 41 verses of the Bible, I've got a couple of friends here who are going to help me tell the story in a slightly more dramatic way. All right? I'm only going to play one part, but they've got to play several parts. So to help them not get confused and perhaps help you, I've just got some little signs that I'm going to put on the platform here. And as they stand behind them, it will give you a clue as to who they are. All right? That's great. And I'll stand down on the main floor bit. All right? Here we are. Is that all right? So we've got neighbours. We've got Pharisee. Now, if this is Gareth, it would have been really high-tech with bells and whistles, because it's me. It's paper, but it is printed at least. There we are. All right. And then we've got, it may not be in the right order, but hopefully we'll manage. Please don't fall over. We haven't done a proper health and safety assessment here. So I'll stand down here. And it'd be lovely if you join in, because there are some kind of actions, all right? This is a Bob Hartman adaptation, so there's always something funny in it. So at some point, I'm going to go, twee. And that's kind of spitting. So if you want, when I say that, to kind of spit with me, not on your neighbour's head, but that would be great. All right? Then I've got ooey gooey. And we need to just rub our fingers together. health and safety, we're just going to hold a finger in the air. Hallelujah! We're going to wave our hands, excuse me, in Pentecostal form. All right? So you get it, don't you? You'll pick it up as we go along. I was sitting there on the Sabbath day, born blind and begging, when Jesus and his disciples walked by.
Why is this blind? Why is this man blind, teacher? Is it punishment for some bad thing he did, or punishment for something his parents did?
Neither. The man wasn't born blind because somebody sinned. This happened so that God could show how powerful he is. You can work when it's light, you can't in the night. But as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light, and I'm here to do the work of the one who sent me.
Then Jesus spat on the floor. He made a little mud, ooey gooey. He rubbed my eyes, health and safety, and now I can see. Hallelujah! Because Jesus is the light of the world. So I went home, and that's when the neighbours came round.
Tell me, Agnes, isn't this man the man born blind?
That's the one, Holder. I swear it is.
No, it only looks like him, Agnes. He's got the same bone structure, but the eyes are set a little too close.
Right you are, Holder, and I think his parting was on the other side.
It's me, I said. It's really me. Open your eyes.
Then how come you can see?
So I explained. Then Jesus spat on the floor. He made a little mud. Ooey gooey. He rubbed it on my eyes. Health and safety. And now I can see. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is the light of the world.
So where is this man who healed you then?
I don't know, I said. But I could tell they didn't believe me, so they took me to the religious leaders to sort it all out.
So this healing you say you experienced, it happened on the Sabbath, did it?
But on the Sabbath, no one is allowed to work.
So the man who made you see broke the Sabbath rules.
And therefore cannot be a good man at all.
On the other hand, if he is a sinner...
How did he perform this miracle?
They were puzzled, obviously. So they asked me what I thought, and I said, Jesus spat on the floor. He made a little mud, ooey gooey. He rubbed it on my eyes, health and safety, and now I can see. Hallelujah! Because Jesus is the light of the world. But that didn't go down very well either.
I bet this man was never blind at all.
And this is some kind of clever trick.
Fetch his parents!
And so they did. No, we haven't finished yet.
Blind from birth he was. Blind as a doorpost.
That's deaf, dear. It's blind as a bat.
I hate bats. They give me the creeps. I just want to smack them with a doorpost. They'd never hear me coming.
In the end, they were no help at all.
Completely batty.
They told the religious leaders that I was old enough to speak for myself, so I did. Or at least I tried for the fourth time. Then Jesus spat on the floor. He made a little mud. Ooey gooey. He rubbed it on my eyes. Health and safety. And now I can see. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is the light of the world. Why do you keep asking? I asked. Do you want to become his disciples too?
Don't be ridiculous.
We don't know anything about this Jesus.
Really? You know nothing about him. I was blind. I can see. Open your eyes. Only someone from God could do something like that.
And what do you know?
Throw him out.
So there I was, back where I started, back on the street. And that's when Jesus came by again.
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
Who's that? Tell me so that I can believe in him.
You're looking at him. He's the one speaking to you.
Then I do believe. I really do. Thank you for helping me see.
That's why I came into the world, so the blind can see, and so those who think they can see will discover that they are really blind.
Blind as doorposts.
Couldn't have put it better myself.
Well, that's not me, because then Jesus spat on the floor. He made a little mud, ooey gooey. He rubbed my eyes in it, health and safety, and now I can see. Alleluia, because Jesus is the light of the world. Thank you so much. I hope it helped you hear that story again in a fresh way, maybe for the first time. You know, the religious leaders could have been amazed by what Jesus had done, but their blind spot meant all they could see was that Jesus had broken the rules. This man Jesus doesn't come from God. If he did, he would not break the law on the Sabbath. The religious leaders could have celebrated this wonderful healing, but because Jesus had broken the rules, they couldn't see how this could be a work of God. How could someone who is a sinner perform such a miracle? Their blind spots meant they couldn't see what was in front of their eyes. They couldn't accept it for what it was. Instead, they looked for a conspiracy. They were trying to prove this man had never been blind. What they wanted to do was turn this story into fake news. And we might smile at the way our dramatic Bible reading presents the religious leaders, but what these men were doing is something that actually we all do from time to time. And this thing that we all do from time to time, this blind spot that we apply, actually has a name. It's called confirmation bias. Confirmation bias happens when we hold on to a particular view and then we filter the evidence to prove that our belief is correct. And in its least offensive form, it might mean that we're a bit blinkered in our thinking. But Jesus is really blunt. He says in its extreme form, it means that we're blind. Not physically blind, like the man in our story, but blind to what's going on within us and to what's going on in the world around us. And this is what happened in our religious leaders in our story today. Their blind spots meant they couldn't see what was going on kind of under their noses. They'd come up with their own interpretation of the Jewish scriptures, and they were holding on to that so tightly, it was limiting their view of God. They were so certain of the God that they'd created in their mind, they didn't recognize him when he was standing right in front of them. For them, rule-keeping was top priority. Worshipping God was just about sticking to the rules. And you know, sadly, even today, for some people, that is what they think the Christian faith is all about. Every one of us has blind spots that put limits on God, because the God in our mind doesn't always match up to the God that we find in the Bible. We can limit him in all sorts of ways. For example, we can not really believe that he'll perform the same miracles today as he did in Jesus's day. We can limit him because we don't really believe how much he loves us or how much work he wants to do in our lives. And we can limit him in the way that we think about other people. Just think of how the religious leaders responded to Jesus. He can't be. And I wonder whether any of us have ever said, they can't be a Christian because if they were, then they wouldn't, dot, dot, dot. And I wonder what we would put in that dot, dot, dot. That man or that woman can't be a Christian. If they were, they wouldn't be so mean. They wouldn't speak like that. They wouldn't spend as much time doing whatever they do. They wouldn't hold that political view or follow that particular movement. They wouldn't behave like that. They wouldn't have addictions. They wouldn't struggle with things. They wouldn't live with someone. They'd be married. They wouldn't have an opposite, a same-sex attraction, and they certainly wouldn't act on it. Have any of us ever thought or spoken like those religious leaders? That man or that woman can't be a Christian. If they were, they wouldn't. Dot, dot, dot. When we respond like the religious leaders, we limit our vision. Like the religious leaders, we can choose to remain spiritually blind rather than let Jesus lead us into the light. We can refuse to see our blind spots by refusing to get to know Jesus more deeply and more intimately. Because if we did, he might change us. If we did get to know him really intimately, he might challenge our expectations. What might he reveal in us if we asked him to show us our blind spot? Sometimes we can be a little like the religious leaders. Instead of being desperate for Jesus to remove the blind spots in our lives. Max Lucado tells a story of a man called Bob Edens. He was blind for 51 years. His world was a black hole of sounds and smells, and he just felt his way through 5 decades. And then one day he could see. A skilled surgeon performed the surgery that was necessary, and he got sight, and he found it overwhelming. Bob Eden said, "I never would have believed that yellow is so yellow. I don't have the words. I'm amazed by yellow, but my favorite color is red. And I can see the shape of the moon, and I like nothing better than seeing a jet plane flying across the sky, leaving a vapor trail. And of course, sunrises and sunsets. And at night, I look at the stars in the sky and the flashing light. You could never know how wonderful everything is." And when we've had a lifetime of vision, we can't really understand how marvelous it is to suddenly see the world. And yet, although we can see with our eyes, we still sometimes settle for blind spots in our lives. A kind of blindness that comes from these things that we're just not aware of. But nevertheless, they are there. Maybe one of the reasons we hold back from asking Jesus to reveal our blind spots and to heal them and to give us new sights is that we ask that question, what would the world look like if we let Jesus help us see? We're frightened. We become nervous about letting him work in that deep level in our lives. Because we say, will we marvel at the world like Bob Eden's, or might it have a different impact on me? We see fear in this story that we have read about. The man who was healed had parents who were so afraid of losing their standing in the synagogue, they wouldn't defend their son, let alone celebrate his newfound sight. It's remarkable that they couldn't stand by him, but they didn't because of how it might affect them. Fear prevented them from seeing God. And I wonder whether we have blind spots in our lives that are related to people. Maybe it's somebody that's hurt us, somebody that's embarrassed us, somebody that's burdened us, somebody that's betrayed us, somebody that we just choose not to be associated with in any shape or form. Fear is holding us back from letting Jesus heal us. Because if Jesus healed us, things might change. And sometimes our blind spots make people invisible to us. We might talk about injustice and poverty and racism and homelessness and all sorts of social ills, but that's as far as it goes. And in a way, that was like the neighbours in this story. They knew that there was a blind man that lived around them. They probably walked past him begging in the street. But when they were asked to identify him, they didn't recognise his face. We're surrounded by people who suffer injustices, poverty, deprivation, sadness, pain, hurt, and so on. But do we notice? Do we see the needs in people? Or have our blind spots allowed them to become invisible to us? Some of you will be familiar with the story of John Newton. He's the man that wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, and he suffered from a blind spot for a large part of his life. On his business trips, he would spend hours praying and reading his Bible every morning, and then he'd spend time praying again around lunchtime. He was a ship's captain, and as a ship's captain, he enjoyed long spells on deck in complete solitude, and he would keep a diary recording what he discovered. And one of his diary entries says that he knew no other call that affords greater advantages to an awakened mind for promoting the life of God in the soul. His cargo required extra crew and extra officers, and this reduced his own inboard responsibilities. And in one entry, his journal says, "I never knew sweeter or more frequent hours of divine communion than in my last two voyages to Guinea." He wrote much about the singular goodness of the Lord to him. He recorded these words when he was transporting African slaves. He became ill and he had to retire early, but he continued to invest into the shipping of slaves. And for more than 30 years after he left that business, he continued to support it, even after he'd become an Anglican vicar, had preached hundreds of sermons and written a shed full of hymns, including one of our today favourites, Amazing Grace. And then one day, God opened his eyes. He healed his blind spot. And then John Newton apologised with a confession, which he said comes too late. It will always be a subject of humiliating reflection to me that I was once an active instrument in... I was once an active instrument in a business at which my heart now shudders. Sometimes when our blind spot is removed, it can be incredibly painful. And other times it can be the most amazing experience, just like the blind man in our story. But both lead to worship. John Newton said, "Thank you, Jesus, for healing me of my spiritual blindness so that I could finally see the tragedy of slave trading." And as we've already heard, the blind man in our story said, "I believe." Thank you. That's a form of worship. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me see. The religious leaders didn't want to know who Jesus was. They didn't want to discover God in a new and in a fresh way. The man's parents, well, they just didn't want to rock the boat. And the neighbours had just stopped looking. None of these people really wanted to see Jesus and what he was capable of, except for the blind man who worshipped God because he'd been set free. And this morning, we can be like the religious leaders. God is in a shape and we don't want that to change. We can be like the parents and we can say, I don't know that I want to rock the boat. We can be like the neighbours that just say, you know, I've got enough troubles of my own, I just don't want to see. Or we can come to Jesus and say, show me my blind spots, heal me, give me fresh sight. And the great thing is, if we come to Jesus and we make that our request and we make that our prayer, he says, great, that's what I'm here for. That's why I came into the world, so the blind can see. And so those who think they can see will discover that they're really blind. And so he offers us a choice. As we reflect on that story of how a blind man was healed, I wonder whether we can just ask God to speak to us, to ask ourselves, how does that story impact us? And I wonder, to help us as a prayer prompt, we might want to come back to our little blind spot test and use this as our prayer prompt. And just for a few moments, quietly ask God to reveal any blind spots that we have in our life. Ask Jesus, where are my blind spots? Jesus, help me see. Where are we limiting God? Who might we have stopped noticing? Where might our fear be preventing us from moving into deeper and more relationship with him? So we'll have a few moments of silence just as we reflect on that personally, and then we'll close our time of worship and celebration when our musicians and team come up and lead us in our final act of worship. Let's just ask God to help us see.